With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Raquel Welch. Yes, that Raquel. And I'd rather stick needles in my ears and listen to one more minute of Mr. Media Radio.
You're listening to Chat About It, the future of internet radio. Chataboutit.com is the place to listen to new and exciting talk shows. Listen live, chataboutit.com.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to romance novelist Brendan Novak, who has not one, but three new novels coming out in the next 3 months, starting with the just-released White Heat. Stick around. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is Mr. Media. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Come by and check it out. Archive celebrity and TNT secrets. The show is brought to you today by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of extremely romantic neighborhood dogs in the new media capital of the world and home of the best team in baseball, St. Petersburg, Florida. Well, Brendan Novak, I hate you. Now, I'm saying this now while you're waiting in the wings, your microphone turned off, because I need to get this off my chest. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Seriously, I hate you. How can a married mother of five, damn it, find time to write a single novel, let alone three, that are being published in consecutive months this summer? Even if I allow for romance novels being more plentiful than mainstream novels, that's still a ridiculous output for a parent. I've only got one kid, now a teenager, and I can't find time to finish a single novel. Three? All right, one last time. Brendan Novak, I hate you. Now, if you're not already a Brendan Novak fan, let me step back and fill you in a bit on the target of my ire. Her latest novel, White Heat, was just published and is the first book in her new Heat trilogy. White Heat in July, Body Heat in August, and Killer Heat in September. I get hot just thinking about it. And even before these three books, Brenda was already a New York Times bestselling author. This new series brings her total output to 32, including several books in the Super Romance collection. Brenda Novak, welcome, I guess, to Mr. Media.
Thank you for having me, I think.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I know it's not uncommon for romance writers to be prolific, but three books in 3 months?
Well, that's just showing off, Brenda. It's the new publishing model. You really have to be prolific, I think, to get your name out there these days. As you know, the market's gotten tougher and tougher, and it's hard to build a name. We're such a bestseller-driven economy and society that, you know, all the really big names that have been out for years and years take up all the shelf space. So it's tough for us new authors or relatively new authors to get out of the mid-list and hit that bestseller strata across the top. And so it's one way to try and do that, because then you get your name out in front of people, you know, 3 months in a row.
You've written 32 books.
Yes.
You call yourself a new author?
Well, you know, a lot of those books were super romances, as you said, which are part of the Harlequin's series lines. And so they don't work quite the same as a single title book. So really, you have to look at my single title career once I started writing the suspense books. You're not going to hit a list writing for the series books. It's more like, if you want to liken it to stocks and bonds. Series books are like bonds. You know about how much you're going to make. It's much more modest. Probably not going to hit a list and grow, you know, a huge career a la Nora Roberts. But when you branch over into the single title side, there's a little more risk, because if those books don't do well, you're going to be cut from your publisher much quicker, but you also have more opportunities opened up on that side as well. So I didn't start writing the suspense novels until about 4 or 5 years ago, and that actually is relatively young when you look at the life of most authors and the career of most authors. It takes a while. If you look at Nora Roberts, if you look at Debbie May Comber, you know, they've written well over 100 books. So it takes some time. I'm relatively new, let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. That's fair. And I don't really hate you. I just hate that you're so prolific.
I think you secretly hate me, Bob. I believe it.
Well, no, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I don't
you
hate.
You can do it. You can do it, too. It's just, you know, no matter how many kids you have, they expand to fill your entire life. So it doesn't matter if you have one or two or five. You know, it just takes up all the room anyway.
Well, and I want to ask you about that. I mean, how do you manage a life and a career? I mean, do you closet yourself for weeks at a time and maybe produce 80,000 words, then return to your regularly scheduled life? Or do you partition? How do you get it done?
No, as you know, when you have kids, you can't do that. It just all of a sudden removes their parent from their life, and they can't do that. I have to pace myself. I have to make sure that I don't get too far behind. So I get up and I write every day, just like a full-time job. You know, as soon as I get my kids off to school, of course not now during the summer, but, you know, typically, a typical day for me would be I'd get them off to school, sit down and work all day until they come home, go do homework, do sports, do dinner, and maybe even go back for a little bit in the evening to try and catch up on, you know, promotional stuff or any of the other things I have going on, you know, on email.
How many words, I mean, in a day, you know, what's your goal? Are you trying to write so many thousand words a day or a week, or what's the plan?
I do, but it's a little more aggressive than what I can usually maintain, but I try and do 10 pages a day. And, you know, I'll be lucky if I get 5 done usually, but I have 4 months to write a book. And so if I can do, you know, between 5 and 10 pages, 5 days a week, I take weekends off to spend with my family, then I can usually lope along at a pretty fast clip and meet my deadlines.
Mm. And, you know, like summertime, as you mentioned, when the kids are out of school, can you get as much work done, or, you know, do you have to kind of adjust your expectations?
Yeah, I have to adjust my expectations, because then you've got vacations and trips and it eats into your time. But then you also have days where, you know, they're staying with a friend at a cabin for a few days or something. And then you've got some extra time, so you make up for it. So most summers I actually probably increase my output a little bit. This summer, because I have these 3 books launching and have done a little bit more on the promotion end, I'm a little farther behind, not getting as much done. Also, I do an online auction for diabetes research every year. And that has become a huge endeavor. It's like another full-time job. And that, this year, we broke the $1 million mark, and it took a lot of time. So that ate into a lot of my June. So now my output this summer is down a little bit, but I've got to get back on it and hit it hard.
Well, and let's take a minute to talk about the diabetes auction. How did that get started, and how did it kind of snowball to what it is now?
Well, you know, my youngest son, Thad, was diagnosed with diabetes when he was 5. And I learned a little bit more about it. I think we're so familiar with diabetes that everybody gets pretty apathetic. And I even had one woman say to me, "We'll just give him insulin." Well, it isn't quite that easy. And when you find out that it damages every organ of his body and some of the challenges that he'll likely face, I, of course, was mortified to think that this could happen to my son, and became much more aware of how many people are suffering with diabetes in this world. So I really felt this strong passion to fight back, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. I had these 5 little kids. I was just starting a writing career. I had no money. And so, you know, I thought, well, there'll be a time for that. But I couldn't give up on it. My mind just kept gnawing over what could I do, what could I do. And I was at a silent auction for his school that was trying to raise money, and looking around thinking there's got to be an easier way than having, you know, trying to get everybody to come out at the same time, feed them all, have them all under one roof. And then it hit me that I have all this traffic I've already established that was going to my website because of my writing. And I thought, what if I gave them the opportunity to help out? Maybe we could do something as a community. And so I did a test market that first year, and we raised only $35,000, which sounds very modest now. But at the time, I was thrilled. I thought that was a lot of money. And I went back and worked harder the next year, and sort of like you build a snowman, you start with that little round snowball and you just keep pushing it and rolling it till it gets bigger and bigger. And that's basically how I've handled my auction. I you know, have built it each year, and it doubled the next year, and then it doubled the next year, and then we hit this economy, and it didn't double, but it continued to grow. We have set a new record every year. So the 6 years that I've been running it, the cumulative total is 1.1 million. And, you know, we're thinking now that we're making over 300,000 for the charity every year. So we think we should hit 2 million within probably around 3 years.
Wow. And what kind of things do you auction? I mean, for example, do you auction off to one of your readers the opportunity to write a page in your next book, or perhaps be a character who has a fabulous romance, or a character who kills somebody? What are they bidding on?
Well, they're bidding on some amazing things. The items you mentioned are some of it. Not to write a page in my book. I don't think I can ever give up control to that degree. But we do auction off, you know, the chance to have it dedicated to somebody, to be a character. We have Nora Roberts, who, of course, is, you know, a huge name that donates a stay in her inn. We've got other big-name authors who donate lunch with them. Diana Gabaldon is one. Catherine Coulter is another. We have journalists who donate their time. Some of the funnest things that we have are for aspiring writers, actually, and they are opportunities to get in front of some of the biggest agents and editors in New York. And some of them have promised a 24-hour turnaround, which you, being in publishing, would know that that's unheard of. So it really is a great value for those people who are serious about launching a career, because they can get some feedback from somebody who can really make a difference in their lives and getting them published. It's also just a wonderful thing for readers, because we have amazing items from the published authors. Besides the ones I mentioned, we've got autographed ARCs, so if you have a favorite author, you can be the first to read their work, you know, months before it actually comes out. There are meet and greets that are also other business opportunities for people who are doing, I don't know, a published author maybe who is trying to do some promotion package can hook up with the book buyer from Borders, the national book buyer, so they can meet her and hopefully increase their buy. So there's just a real mix of things. We also have, you know, the other things that most charity auctions have, with trips and stays and jewelry and all kinds of fun things. We had 2,400 items last year, so it's getting big, and everybody has just been so generous. I can't believe how wonderful the writing community is to support me the way that they have.
Now, you have, of course, BrendaNovak.com is your website. Is there a separate website for the auction?
Actually, we funnel it all through there because it's just easier to mix it. So there's a section of my website for the auction. If you go to BrendaNovak.com and you click on the menu bar for auction, then it'll take you to all the information of what we've done over the years, how to donate an item, how to get involved in other ways. We have people register all year long to become shoppers, and we actually recruit people to do categories. So, you know, we can offer somebody, they get to do their own category, and they can name it whatever they want. And we have one author like Diane Despain, who she does a whole section of antique jewelry, which is something, you know, many women really love. We have Cherry Adair.
Wait a minute. This is breaking news, folks. Women apparently love jewelry. Okay, go ahead.
Most women do, I think. But then we have, like, Cherry Adair, who's another New York Times bestselling author. She has a whole category. Hers is, you know, coming to stay in her guest house for a week, getting a critique group together if you're an aspiring writer, and meeting with her over the period of that week. She does two of them, you know, one for just people who want to come and enjoy, others who want to come and work. We just have all kinds of things, and we're always taking more. So if anybody wants to get involved, it's really easy to contact me through my website. And we have quite a team going, and it's just a fun community. We make it fun. We give away lots of prizes to people who are bidding. We have a big grand prize for the person who places the most number of bids for the entire month. And it's just turned into a really fun thing that most people really look forward to each year that I've come into contact with.
It's just a shame you can't, you know, create some excitement about it for yourself. You're so mundane about it.
You can tell I'm passionate, but I think that's pretty much me. I'm passionate about everything.
Well, let's come back to talking about the writing before we have to go. Do I understand that you actually became a writer almost by accident, that this was not a planned vocation?
That's true. I caught my daycare provider drugging my children with cough syrup to get them to sleep all day so that she could relax and watch soap operas. And I was working as a loan officer. And prior to this time, if you had told me that I was going to write a book, I would have said, there's no way. I mean, I don't even aspire to do that. I'm not one of those people that have had stories running around in my head, you know, since I was little. But when I caught my daycare provider doing that, I lost my trust. I couldn't leave my children with anybody after that. I felt like I was responsible. I'm their last line of defense, and I left them vulnerable. And I still feel guilty about that all these years later. And so I quit my job to stay home with them, but it was at a very dark time for my husband. He's an entrepreneur, and his business was not doing well. We were losing everything. It was in a downturn in the real estate market, and so he was really struggling. And I felt like I had to help, but I couldn't leave. I had three of my five kids. I couldn't leave them with anybody. So, you know, just a difficult situation where I was thinking I have to be able to do something from home when they nap or, you know, when they're busy playing. And the only skill I knew I possessed was that I was a quick typist. So I thought I could do a typing service, or I was reading this great book, and I thought, you know, I wonder if maybe I could do this. And once I started, then I knew I had found my calling in life. It's something I will always do, even if I never sell another book, because it's something I find so fulfilling. And so I think it was just a silver lining to a dark time, and I'm really grateful that, you know, it happened the way it, not the way it did, because I wish my kids hadn't been hurt, but I mean, I'm glad I found it. Otherwise, I may not have.
I people who see this on video will see that I had a big smile when you said that you were a good typist. I you probably don't know this, but I make my living as a writer, mostly nonfiction stuff. And my wife likes to crib a line from Robin Williams doing Truman Capote, where she loves to say to me, you know, when I get excited about something I'm working on, she'll say, "That's not writing, that's typing." Thank you, dear. When you published your first book, what was the first indication that this might actually be a career? What, you know, is there something that happened along the way?
No, actually, it wasn't the quick fix we were hoping for. It took me 5 years to teach myself the craft of novel writing, and I also chose to do a historical set in the Victorian era, so I knew nothing about that era, had to completely research it. And, you know, you remember, this is before the Internet had the information that it has now. It was right when the Internet was coming on, but it didn't have all of the resources it has now. So I had to go down to Sac State and do my research, and I remember how grateful I was for those few hours when somebody could, a loved one, a family member could watch the kids, or Ted, you know, could take time off work, my husband. The indication was just how much I loved it. I mean, I would lay down at night, and even though times were still hard for us, it saved my sanity. I would think, but my book is good. My book is really good. And I believed in it, and I really enjoyed doing it. And so I was lucky enough to sell that first manuscript. And I think maybe a turning point, what you're looking for, might have been when I finaled in the Golden Heart, which is a national contest sponsored by Romance Writers of America. And it has enough prestige attached to it that when you final, agents and editors think, oh, you know, maybe I should take a look at this and give it a shot. And I think that that helped me secure my first agent. And it also made me feel, you know, sort of like I'd gained some credibility as a writer. So that was probably a big turning point that helped clinch the deal for me and think, yeah, this is it. I'm going to continue.
And the Heat series that's just kicked off, the first White Heat came out in July. Was there something about that? Do you remember how the idea for that or the plot kind of revealed itself to you?
You know, with the Heat series, it was more the setting sort of gave me the idea. I had just traveled to Tucson. I love Arizona, spent some years here, and I wanted to sort of use it as a metaphor, especially in the first book. It's called White Heat, as you mentioned, and it's about two undercover operatives that have to infiltrate a dangerous cult that has set up shop in the middle of the Arizona desert, and it's very risky because it's not like they can just call for backup. They have only each other to rely on. They have to pretend to be married, even though they've got a little bit of interesting backstory between them. And so, you know, the story just sort of sprang out of the setting for me. Paradise is a real town. It's a ghost town. But I thought, how perfect, you know, to set a story about a cult, because obviously, you know, where they live is not really paradise, even though that's what they're calling it. So it all just sort of came together for me that way, and I really am proud of the way it turned out. It's getting some great reviews.
Well, now, let me ask you this. Where do you write, and what do you need to write? Are you a coffee fan, a liquor, liqueur, candles, amphetamines? What is it, you know, what is it that gets Brenda Novak going in the writing?
Sugar. If you check my drawers, it's candy. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink alcohol, but my weakness is chocolate or baked goods. And so my husband will stock up my desk drawers. Of course, I have to work out a lot to try and get rid of that. But yeah, that's my big Achilles heel.
I think I understand the whole diabetes connection now.
Actually,
oh my.
It's an autoimmune deficiency, not caused from eating too much sugar, although I think you can wear out your insulin-producing cells. But, you know, hopefully I pace myself.
Wow. Well, okay, so these three books, last question now. These three books these will be out in September. I assume, from as prolific as you are, you've got the next series or the next books lined up?
I do. I've already finished next summer's first book. I'm in the middle of the second book. I'll have three again. But they'll come out not back-to-back, month-to-month, the way these did, that we're skipping a month. So we'll have a July release, a September release, and a November release.
You're becoming a slacker in your old age.
Yeah, exactly. They're giving me a little bit of breathing room.
Well, listen, first of all, I don't actually hate Brenda. I don't want anyone to think that. And, folks, you can learn much more about author Brenda Novak's new series of novels, suspense novels, I stand corrected, White Heat, Body Heat, and Killer Heat, at her website, brendanovak.com. And you can find her many books at great bookstores everywhere, or you can order them right now at a great price at mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. And, Brenda, it was a lot of fun. You have a good sense of humor, and I appreciate that. And thanks so much for coming on Mr. Media today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was really enjoyable.
My pleasure. Thank you. And, folks, of course, for more original interviews with your favorite celebrities, you can surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. And you can now hear Mr. Media while you're on the go with Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile application. The latest episode of Mr. Media is always available for you, no syncing needed, and no memory wasted. It's available for your iPhone, your Palm Pre, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy, so go to Stitcher.com or check out the App Store for your individual mobile phone. And while you're there, on Stitcher, check out some of my favorite online radio shows, including The Michael Mara Show, Doug Loves Movies, and Sex with Emily. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, you can email me directly. Nothing comes between me and the listeners at bob@andelman.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter. It's twitter.com/andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
Hope you can do something extraordinary. Join your neighbors and the American Red Cross and help save the day. When the next disaster strikes, when a neighbor's house burns down, if someone needs life-saving blood or the comfort of a helping hand, hope. Support the American Red Cross and help save the day. Visit redcross.org.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.